every day on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1-300-872-911.
Now, I want to turn briefly to this crime situation again. It's because there's a extensive coverage here in the Cairns Post today of an aspect no one ever talks about this anymore, fetal alcohol syndrome and the contribution it's making to, well, the chaos in our community here in far north Queensland and various other communities as well. Peter Carruthers writes today, checks of all youths entering the youth justice system for fetal alcohol syndrome has been suggested as a tactic in the fight against an alarming overrepresentation of Indigenous youth offenders within the far north justice system. Look, there's various figures mentioned here. It says last November revealed 788 children were locked up. That was in the Cairns Watch House in the 12 months to September last year. 788. A further breakdown of the data found there was 546 Indigenous boys aged between 10 and 17, and compared with 123 non-Indigenous boys. For girls locked up in the same period, Indigenous females outnumbered their non-Indigenous counterparts at a rate of 112 to 10. This fetal alcohol syndrome business is something that needs to be addressed. If there's something can be done, for God's sake, let's look at the possibilities. Karanda-based youth worker Ken Harley, you know of Ken, he talks about other matters on this program, including the Karanda Range, etc., Redcliffe Highway, but Ken has years of experience helping disadvantaged kids in the far north. He stated, fetal alcohol syndrome's an issue not often talked about. He's not kidding. He suggested a way to break a cycle of youth offending is to attach boarding facilities, plural, at state-run schools as respite for kids from violent and dysfunctional homes. Anyway, it goes on to say, working 4 years to gain the trust of teens, Mr. Harley's become an informal carer for scores of kids in Karanda and Cairns, desperate to escape a destructive cycle of drinking and drug use that goes hand in hand with an unstable, stressful and often violent home life. I put a call through to Ken. He's just come to the phone. Ken Harley, good morning.
G'day, John.
This is an aspect to the Ken Harley we know that we weren't aware of. And I'm so interested in the point you're making about fetal alcohol syndrome. It's just not spoken about anymore. It used to be spoken about from time to time, and I think everyone thought, oh, it's all too hard. But you say it's a significant contributor to the numbers of kids that are in trouble with the police up here in far north Queensland almost constantly.
It certainly is, John. It's fetal alcohol and whatever. It's got some brothers and sisters too. It's got, this business with ice now, where ice is just as readily available as marijuana. And it's connected to malnutrition, where children are born from an alcoholic type mother. And from a mother who may be a heavy smoker right up until the time of birth, and that usually is indicated in a child that it's not fully formed when they're born, and they've got a longer stay in hospital and what have you. But it then magnifies itself in the kids that can't get proper food, and they're living on these cheap noodles that they boil up themselves.
Oh,
they know
I see.
How to boil up it themselves.
Yeah.
And the likes of Coca-Cola and things like that. And so all these things come together when you deal with and you talk and you try to help a lot of these kids that they struggle with memory things, don't remember things a lot, get a bit confused. And like most people, if they're pushed too hard when they get confused, they tend to lash out as the only way they can sort of protect themselves. So it's a very, very significant problem, John. It's part of being open and honest about what's going on in order to deal with it and not try to gloss things over and not try to ignore the most obvious and simple solutions. And that seems to be what's going on now.
I just want to emphasise something you just made a point of. For a start, I didn't know smoking had that sort of impact on children while they're in the womb. You also say this in this article, they're born drunk that children are born drunk or with ice in their system. They don't drink milk or eat vegetables, and this results in mental health problems, living on the street, and absolute mayhem in the schools. The impact is there from the day they're born.
That's correct. Yeah, that's very correct. I think the born drunk situation really came public just a couple of weeks ago with the baker, I can't think of his name now, over in Alice Springs, when he started to talk at length about it. But certainly it is, it's all part of the picture, John, of how these kids end up the way they end up. And when I talked there about the boarding school idea,
yes,
where they can have a home with some grannies there, and they've got themselves a room, and they've got a locker where they can have their clothes that won't be stolen, and their school books that won't be stolen, what have you.
Yeah.
But yet they can still get back and relate to all their families and things. You know, and that boarding school, we've already got that sort of arrangement in foster care, but it's all buggered up because the foster parents never know how long they're going to have a kid for. Then it gets destroyed by people in children's services and child safety when a child has to be taken off the foster carers against the child's will and be returned to whoever the mother and father are. And they go back to hell on earth for a while.
Really? Even if mother and father are still on drugs and still on alcohol?
That's right. And so I've been in the heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking situation a number of times where a child has screamed and pleaded and reached their hands out to you asking, don't let me go. I don't want to go back. And you know what happens, John? They go back, they're forced back, then they do a runner.
Of course.
Then they live on the street.
Yeah.
Then they go into thieving and what have you. They're gone. And so then they get into this treadmill, and that's the treadmill we're talking about with violence and all the rest of it. So, you know, some of these things need to be out in the open and openly discussed. And no racism involved, none of that sort, those accusations. Get out there and deal with the problem so we can begin to fix it.
Why are the kids taken back to those dreadful situations? Is that based on the stolen generation business or something? Why would they be taken from somewhere where they're happy?
That's based on this pie-in-the-sky idea that the kids do better back with the parents. And, John, I can quote you so many times where they've gone back to absolute hell on earth.
God.
So many times.
Just appalling. Yep. Can I ask you this, Ken? This is a difficult one because you're not a medical practitioner. When fetal alcohol syndrome is identified as the number one challenge facing a child or a young person, is there anything medically that can be done?
Not that I know of, John, and I've tried and tried and tried with people up to 40 years old to try and help them and try and get them to some sort of help. And unfortunately, the reply comes in, oh, there's so many percent fetal alcohol and what have you, so you might have someone you think is perfectly normal and perfectly able, and then you'll find out that they can't learn and that they have no literacy and numeracy and never will. And, struggles like that. So I've never seen, all I've seen is people who around them have learned to help them learn to live with it and learn to cope with it. I've seen a bit of that. You see a lot of grannies loaded up with family and they've got people suffering from that situation in their houses, in their overcrowded houses.
Yeah. Do you know, I'm so pleased that you've got the courage to talk about this in terminology that carries the truth. I just want to quote you in this article. You say, we have to put boarding at the school or near the school. They will go to the boarding school to get away from the hell on earth they're living. Now, can I just ask you about what sort of support would be necessary to actually bring this sort of answer to this nightmare to fruition? I mean, would governments give you a hearing?
No, because it's called racism. So they won't, these lefties won't, you won't get your foot in the door there. But let me tell you something, John. 2 weeks ago, I was at a gathering of maybe about 20 people, I think. One was a young bloke who had struggled all his life and had a terrible, terrible time until he met some from foster carers that absolutely loved him.
Yeah.
There were some foster carers there. There was no professionals in the room, I reckon. They were all people just with common sense and a good heart and what have you.
Yes.
And when I started to discuss this, the chairperson stopped the meeting and asked people what did they think, and they all put their hands up straight away in support. But we need to sort out this foster, get rid of this bloody resi care, and it's just a nightmare. And get some foster care, proper foster care arrangements made, and then we have to look at this boarding idea.
Yeah.
Where these kids could come and be in the care of a granny and whatever. It's no big deal. If you work out the billions that are going up in smoke now, it's no big deal. And then, John, there's another group of kids that desperately need a little tiny bit of help. And these are kids who've got the wherewithal and born with all their faculties and what have you, and they're trying to do well at school. They're getting themselves along to school. They're trying. Some of them manage to get to university and what have you. But they struggle all the time. They're from homes where you've got these amazing, most magnificent grannies that take these kids in as young children away from the hell on earth.
Yes.
And live a life. The grannies give their life. Their life becomes buggered because every cent they've got, they're pouring into these kids. These kids miss a lot, school excursions and stuff like that, they miss out on. But they keep them clothed, they keep shoes on their feet, and they keep trying to get them to school as best they can, and they discipline them and what have you. And these kids need, as they get up through school, they need just somewhere safe. As they're getting ready to go to work or getting ready to go on to university, they need somewhere safe, a bed that's safe, a cupboard that's safe to put their laptops and things in so they're not stolen, and another locker to put all their clothes and what have you in, so that as they get a job, you know, a part-time job at Macca's and stuff, they can hang their uniforms out to dry without them getting stolen, and put their shoes out to dry without them getting stolen, and what have you. So we need some facilities, cheap, very practical Douglas House style facilities, where these kids can graduate from these lovely, lovely people that raise them.
Yes.
Take the load off those lovely, lovely people, and as these teenagers can fend for themselves and cook for themselves, get them out and give them an opportunity to further their education or move into employment and be able to keep their bloody shoes, just their shoes that get pinched if they put them out if it's raining and they put them out to dry.
Gee.
You know, they get mugged for their phones. They get mugged for their laptops. And what do you need? Go to Centrelink, go everywhere. What's the answer? Oh, get us, you know, go on the internet and log on and do this and do that. What if they haven't got it?
No.
What if it gets pinched? And it does. Yeah. It does.
Kenny, I've got to leave you now. I've run down on time, but this has been an amazing contribution to the debate. I really am grateful to you for this.
And just going further on what Kevin Byrne said, John, I get so angry, and if anyone wants to make themselves angry, go down to Quigley Street and see that place boarded up.
Yeah.
What a disgrace.
Yeah.
Go around to the Sally Urquhart building in Peace Street, opposite that fiasco of a police thing that's been built there. It's empty. That's that big that place where the police used to all board.
Yeah.
The bloody thing's empty.
Yes.
Anyhow, mate,
this has been a hell of an expose. I really appreciate it, Ken. Thank you. Ken Harley, and well, we call him the local crime emergency activist now for this particular discussion. Now, the background to this is across pages 6 and 7 in the Cairns Post today under the heading Plea to Tackle Indigenous Numbers in State Prisons. And that's Ken Harley. You know, we tend to just think, oh, it's all too hard. And then Ken comes on and uses the term, what we need to start some action is a room full of people with common sense and a good heart.